Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Hermetics in the Golden Dawn with David Griffin and Golden Dawn Adepts. I am your host for this evening, Julia Sherritt. So tonight's topic we will be discussing, today's show is called Truth About Alchemy and the Golden Dawn. And once again, for this evening's podcast, our very special guest will be David Griffin. Today, the main thing that we will be discussing is what exactly is alchemy and how does it relate? What is its role in the Hermetics? We'll be discussing some of the common misconceptions about alchemy and contrasting these with understanding of what alchemy truly is. And also answering the question, is alchemy a psychological process, a metaphysical speculation, or an old age spiritual practice? So hopefully we will be able to have all these questions answered for this. Hello, David. Are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you just fine. So as I just finished telling our listeners, tonight we'll be discussing alchemy and how it relates to Hermetics and the Golden Dawn, and some of the questions surrounding alchemy. What is alchemy? What isn't alchemy? Some of the major misconceptions that surround alchemy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, are you prepared? We have lots of information to get through tonight as well, too, for anybody that may be listening or who will be downloading this podcast later. This is the first part in a series on alchemy that we will be doing. So, hopefully, by the end of this, we'll have a better understanding of just the basics of alchemy, and then as the series progresses, hopefully people will have a very, very good foundation to work from. When it comes to their understanding of alchemy. So thank you, David, for being with us again once again this week. For if you could just again just give a brief introduction to who you are and your background for anybody that has not listened to our previous podcast or may be unfamiliar with who you are.
Okay. Well, my name is David Griffin, and I am the International Imperator of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is the outer order of the Rosicrucian Order of Alpha and Omega, founded by S.L. MacGregor Mathers in 1909 in Paris, France, and the Golden Dawn founded in 1888 in London, England. And I am a ritual magician and a teacher of magic and the author of the Ritual Magic Manual, and I'm also a disciple of Hermetic Alchemy and an initiate of Hermetic Alchemy.
Fantastic. Well, once again, thank you very much for being here this week. I understand you're a very, very busy man, so I appreciate you taking out this time for us to come to this better understanding of the different types of things that the Golden Dawn is all about. Mm-hmm. So to the very first, we're going to start off with a very, well, it may seem like a simple question, mm-hmm. but in fact it is not. What is and is not alchemy?
So, not at all.
Yeah. So maybe we can start off to my understanding is there's a couple perceptions when it comes to alchemy, if we can begin there.
Okay. To begin with, when I talk to people about alchemy, I like to speak of Hermetic alchemy, because the alchemy that I'm talking about is a very specific sort of alchemy, which is a sort of alchemy that comes down to us from the Hermetic tradition, which comes from ancient Egypt. Now, the reason why I say that this is a kind of alchemy is so much simply because of the fact that people today, when they think of the word alchemy, they think of so many different things. Some people may think of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, and other people may think of Carl Jung, and there are just so many things that people associate with the word alchemy that something that once had a very specific meaning now has many connotations in many people's minds, which have little or nothing to do with the original meaning of the word.
Yes, I was actually, when I was trying to research this topic, I found it very, very daunting. There is just so, like, an abundance of information there, and it's, I didn't know where to start personally, because a lot of what I found out there was not from too, if anybody has listened to last week's podcast, my background is in the Eastern practices. And so my understanding of alchemy is very completely different than what appears to be out there for the Western traditions. So hopefully...
I suppose that you're aware that there's also a very rich alchemical tradition in the East.
Oh, yes. And yes, and what I have seen, I mean, my own research does not line up with what I know from my own education in the Eastern practices. So
let me say this.
Okay.
Temple wisdom comprises the summit of spiritual practice both in the East and in the West. It's the highest knowledge and highest practice on the planet, no matter what culture you're coming from. As Western individuals, of course, it's better to approach alchemy from the point of view of our own psyche and the symbol systems of our own psyche as Western individuals. Carl Jung talks about this, about how can I explain this to you? It's almost like, as you and I are speaking in English, we have a symbolical frame of reference that relates to our own culture.
Yes.
That has to do with a very specific place in the world at a very specific place in time that's communicated by virtue of this symbol system that we call English.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to Carl Jung, our psyches also have symbolical languages.
Okay.
You know,
I completely understand.
Mm-hmm. There are certain aspects of spirituality. You know, symbols are extremely important in spirituality. The communication of certain spiritual truths have always been communicated through symbols. And there is great virtue. Jung correctly recognized that there is great virtue in approaching the numinosity of the divine, approaching the juice of spirituality from the symbol system of our own culture.
Okay.
Because it's like our psyche speaks that language in a spiritual sense.
Okay.
Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, yeah, no, that makes complete sense. That makes complete sense.
Is why, as a Western individual, I'm very interested in the Western esoteric traditions other than the Eastern traditions. It's a personal bias of mine, but also there's more to it than just personal bias,
yes,
like what I just explained to you.
Okay.
But that's not to say that I'm down on people that practice Eastern traditions here in the West. No. It's simply easier to achieve certain things using your own frame of reference and your own symbol system.
Mm-hmm. To just elaborate that a bit further, it is completely possible for people who grow up in the West, because of cultural differences, that maybe even though they speak the language, those symbols don't apply for them. So,
certainly.
Yeah. So
certainly, symbol systems.
Yeah.
Symbol systems are merely symbol systems.
Mm-hmm.
But what's very interesting is we find this same spiritual knowledge, this same spiritual practice, actually, and it's a very specific spiritual practice in all of the great spiritual traditions in the world. Whether it's the Tibetan Buddhist tradition,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the tantric tradition, whether it's the alchemical tradition in the Western esoteric tradition, you find the same practices at the highest levels of all of these traditions with the same objectives and the same goals. And although they're explained and communicated and practiced using different symbolical frames of reference according to where you're at in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
the wisdom is all
it,
the same, and the practices are the same at the highest levels everywhere.
So that can kind of be linked to how Jung, the universal mind, how regardless of your culture, like there's certain archetypes that regardless of your culture you would invoke fear into the person or peace, regardless of the frame of reference culturally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, this is one thing that I think that Jung got very much right. However, where he went to with in relationship to Western alchemy, I completely disagree with.
Okay. So let's start off there with the direction that Western alchemy has, like some of the biggest misconceptions that that has come out in regards to alchemy because of I don't want to say because of Jung, because that's pointing the finger and that's not correct.
Well, you know, Jung has a good amount of responsibility, actually, for this, because, you see, Carl Jung created, how can I explain this? Okay, Jung was interested in primarily improving his own psychological theories.
Yes.
He found in the very cryptic images of Hermetic alchemy in some of the alchemical images in classical alchemical texts, he found there the perfect justification, in a way, for his theories of the collective unconscious.
Okay.
But you see, the point is that the images of alchemy, just like the alchemical texts, are deliberately cryptic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's precisely this cryptic nature of the alchemical imagery which allows people to read some pretty fantastic things into those symbols.
Okay.
Which is exactly what Jung did. Jung basically projected, from using psychological terms to explain what Jung did psychologically, Jung basically projected his own psychological theories onto the matrix of the cryptic images of Hermetic alchemy.
So it's almost like a psychoanalyst if, like, holding up the Rorschach symbols and tell me what you see type thing.
Exactly, and he saw what he wanted to see in the sense of the justification for his theories of the collective unconscious. Now, that's all well and good, but the downside of that is that today, for that and other reasons, there are a whole bunch of people running around that think that alchemy has to do with the individuation process.
Okay.
Or many people use the word alchemy as a synonym for personal growth or spiritual development.
Okay.
So in that sense, Jung created even more confusion. But he certainly was not the first.
Mm-hmm.
The original confusion regarding Hermetic alchemy is created by one simple fact, and that is that it has always been an initiatic tradition.
Okay.
And the things that you find written in terms of classical texts and in terms of these alchemical images that Carl Jung was working with are deliberately intended to conceal their actual meaning, yet be able to be read by other initiates.
Yes, those that have been taught the symbols. But so now correct me if I'm wrong. The reason why the symbology has been used is because if alchemy can be a dangerous process, yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay, so would that be one of the major reasons for the secrecy behind the symbols? That you may be able to find some truth in them, however, without a proper initiated instructor who knows the true meaning of these symbols, they're hidden because it could cause physical harm to the person, not only mental harm and spiritual harm?
Absolutely. Okay, but we need to back up to what we were talking about last
week
to make that clear. The point is that the goal of the Hermetic tradition, the goal of Western Hermetic spirituality, is energetic development and evolution.
Okay.
With the goal of eventually becoming, creating a solar body of light and becoming a solar being with one's consciousness at the solar level, no longer dependent upon incarnation, and becoming consciously immortal. And this, by the way, is not all that different than the goal of many of the great Eastern traditions as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, this might cause a bit of confusion. Like, I understood, and we talked about it on our podcast last week, about how, like, we would evolve to a higher being that's no longer dependent on our physical matter for sustenance and for survival and all that. We'd be a pure
no longer subject to death.
Yes. Now, how some people might still be confusing this with the evolution of the spiritual self as opposed to, because essentially when you're talking about freedom of death, you're talking about on a soul level and not on a spiritual higher consciousness level.
I'm talking about a physical level.
Yes, you're talking on a physical level and not...
Because the point is that as long as we're living at a material level and as long as our energetic nature is so undeveloped that we continue to incarnate in this sphere of matter all of the time, we're going to be subject to death.
Mm-hmm.
Death is a part of life on Earth, life on a planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's part and parcel of being here in a meat body.
Okay. Yes.
You know, and at the other end of the universe, what I'm saying is that it's possible to live as pure energy.
Okay.
That's the goal, and in at a different level of frequency of vibration in the universe, where our consciousness is radically different.
Okay.
And this is the goal of alchemy. It's the goal of spiritual development in the West. It is that development of consciousness, transmutation of the physical body into pure energy and into ever purer forms of energy, and at the same time, the transmutation of consciousness into ever higher vibrations of conscious awareness.
Okay.
Now, in the Western tradition, please understand that energy and consciousness are the same things. Our conscious awareness is a direct result of the physical vibrations of our physical body.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So during this alchemical process that you would learn, once you reach those higher stages of learning where you'd be able to enter into the alchemical mm-hmm. body of school, for lack of better, to make it understandable at this point in time, Are you saying then that all of our experiences, like say someone is able to achieve this in one lifetime as opposed
right.
to 100 lifetimes,
mm-hmm.
If they achieved it in one lifetime, would all of their consciousness from their physical bodies remain? And if they say it took them 100 lifetimes to do it, would all of their consciousness from those 100 lifetimes then evolve into that being of energy as well?
What you are is what you are right now.
Okay.
Now, you know, we can get into a whole lot of metaphysical situations about this, and another time we might want to, but, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about going off into a direction of metaphysical speculation
mm-hmm.
about the nature of consciousness and things like that when, I on the contrary, what I'd really like to do is make things very straightforward, very down-to-earth, very understandable, and very simple.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, I'd like to dispel a few misunderstandings about what alchemy is.
Okay.
And that's why I think it's very important to keep coming back to this notion of consciousness and this notion of transmutation of physical matter of the material body into energy, and with that, the transmutation literally of consciousness, because consciousness is a function of our material bodies as well as our energetic bodies. We have a certain kind of consciousness, conscious awareness, which is directly determined by the frequency of vibration of our energetic selves. And
okay.
since we're living at a material level, we have a material consciousness, although we also have a certain energetic consciousness as well. And this can be developed. That's the whole point.
Okay.
And the difference between this and what most people think about in terms of alchemy is that they get lost in metaphysical speculations and think that it's some sort of metaphysical idea or abstract concept or used as a synonym
personal
for
growth?
Spiritual growth. Sorry?
Okay. Personal
or
growth.
Or personal growth and development. And that's not at all what it is. Sure, it has to do with these things, but in a very specific, limited sense, in the sense of the actual energy of you as a physical thing.
Okay.
So this is very different than the notion of some sort of abstract speculations or of, you know, I've heard people talking about the alchemy of the grades of the Golden Dawn, talking about this in the sense of some sort of personal development or personal growth or spiritual growth in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it is. See, alchemy certainly does have to do with the grades of the Golden Dawn, but not in the sense of just being a metaphor for personal development, not at all. It's
okay.
much more than that.
Now, last week, just to back up a bit for people who haven't had a chance to listen to last week's podcast, we had talked about the three orders of the Golden Dawn, the Outer Order, being, even though there is magical instruction,
mm-hmm.
then, but it's more, oh, what's the word? Pictographic.
Symbolic.
Yeah, symbolical.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Let me explain to you a little bit then about the real relationship between alchemy and the Golden Dawn and the way
okay.
that is.
Okay.
You see, alchemy plays a very important role in the Golden Dawn, but it's not as a metaphor for personal development and spiritual growth in the sense of doing one's grade work and the sort of personal growth and spiritual development that occurs as a result of initiation in the Outer Order and the symbols that one encounters in those rituals. It's not just that.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly those symbols are very important. In the Outer Order, that's extremely important because that's the contact that one has with alchemical processes is just at that symbolical level in the beginning. That's all.
Okay.
Then in the second order.
Okay. Yeah, in the second order. Continue. I'll ask my question after.
Okay. In the second order, one comes in. Okay. Let me say this. Let me make it much more concrete. I want to say something very specific here.
Okay.
That is that the way that alchemy relates to the first and second orders of the Golden Dawn is like this. In the Outer Order, you encounter symbols in the rituals that are, and in the knowledge lectures, that are symbolical of actual inner alchemical processes that are actually used for very rapid spiritual growth and development in the highest of the order, and that would be in the third order.
Okay.
You find the same spiritual disciplines alluded to again in the second order, these same spiritual practices alluded to again in the second order, but there, in an analogical sense, in the magic of the RRDC.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all the way through the Golden Dawn, you're encountering these things, but you're encountering them at a rather sort of abstract level, a rather sort of indirect level, a rather sort of gentle introductory level in order to prepare you energetically for the actual practices of Hermetic Inner Alchemy.
Okay, yeah, so that kind of, that half answers the question that I have. The rest of that question would be, it's very necessary, even though some people might be on the go and wanting to jump straight to the third order alchemical practices, those first two steps, they're very important, are they not, to being able to do the third order the actual, instead of just the oh, my brain has left my body all of a sudden. But it's very, very important that you learn those symbols and stuff in the first two and do those practices, yeah?
Okay, what is important what is important in order to be able to practice alchemy and practice it safely is that you achieve a certain level of development of your energetic bodies first.
Okay.
You need to begin to cultivate your energetic nature, and you need to achieve a certain cultivation of your energetic nature in order to use these more advanced energetic practices safely, effectively, and in a good and positive way without it being dangerous.
Okay. So if somebody, so you highly, regardless, those, it's highly, like it's, it should be stressed that do not try and take any shortcuts when it comes to alchemy?
Well, you can't.
You can't.
It's not possible.
Okay,
it's
so
not possible because
it's not possible?
It's so secret.
Okay.
It's so secret. You see, alchemy is not spadgery. Alchemy is not about producing plant elixirs.
Mm-hmm.
Alchemy is not about working in the laboratory, really. There are two ways in alchemy, and this is a, even at a very advanced level, laboratory work does have something to do with it, but in one path. There is one path that involves a certain amount of stuff outside you, whereas there's another path that is completely internal.
Okay.
And it's this completely internal path that is the most interesting. Hermetic inner alchemy is what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes. Well, my next question it comes from, where did it go? I had it written down. I have a whole list of questions here for you, and they're kind of, the questions have been jumping around. We've addressed some of the differences between as a common term in the field, profane. Is there any other, like you mentioned, basically chemistry sets as an example, working in a lab. Can you further elaborate on more of the?
Well, the idea that you can produce energetic transmutation and spiritual development playing with a chemistry set is certainly not alchemy.
Do you think it's sort of silly, actually?
You're bringing up a very good point here. You know, all right. Alchemy originally comes from ancient Egypt. It became fused with Greek culture in Alexandria during the Ptolemaic period.
Okay.
Then eventually it found its way to Europe a couple of different ways.
Okay.
The point is that along the way, alchemy had to deal with the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hermetic tradition, in order to survive, had to go underground. So, in part, very important alchemical processes were encoded into the symbolism of the new religion.
Okay.
And into the rites of the religion itself. This is why you find also a certain alchemical symbology in Christianity and in very fundamental ways.
Mm-hmm.
The other way is that these truths and these things needed to be transmitted and taught and passed down, and that's why this myth of a gold-making pseudoscience was created.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the processes of the actual processes of Hermetic inner alchemy and the energetic spiritual development were encoded into these very sort of materialistic terms and were presented in analogies explaining the real processing. And that's what the classical alchemical texts are actually all about. Many of them, in fact, most of them, are vastly analogical and referring to inner processes. And when I talk about inner processes, I'm not talking about some sort of metaphysical speculations, but I'm talking about actual spiritual practices involving you inside you because it involves your physical nature, the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about that transmutation.
So when the Hermetic tradition had to do its underground thing, Would you say that's about the time that the common understanding of alchemy had turned into the precursor of what we now call chemistry?
Now, this is something that's very interesting. Very, very. Okay, there are a couple of things that come up here. one thing is chemistry, and the other thing is medicine. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting that the way this came about, because alchemy, believe it or not, produced these two things in our culture. You had Paracelsus on the one hand. First of all, you have all of these people that want to make gold out there, you know, using these classical alchemical texts, trying to crack the code and make gold out of lesser metals. You're wanting to get rich, basically. And in doing this, they discovered all kinds of things about working with metals and working with chemicals and doing these sort of processes in the lab and heating things up. And guess what came out of that?
Yes.
But these people, from the beginning, that those texts were not to be taken literally. Athanor is not something outside of yourself, but you are the Athanor. And the fire is not something that you put underneath a glass beacon.
A Bunsen
burner, but that alludes allegorically to the fires of the human body, the secret fire of the alchemist.
Okay.
So, and then what the mistake that the gold cookers made, we like to lovingly refer to them as puffers. The mistake that the puffers made was to take the analogies of alchemical imagery and classical alchemical hermetic texts literally, instead of analogically, to understand that they're pointing toward other processes that have to do with all of these things that appear to be in an external laboratory actually having to do with things inside.
Okay. And then for medicine, would you say that comes from the potion part of it? The philosophy?
Yeah, this is very interesting. You know, this whole tinkering with Bunsen burning fires and things took off into a couple of different directions, and one of the amazing directions was Paracelsus, who began to produce some pretty amazing things, and in terms of plant elixirs and stuff like that, which eventually resulted in modern pharmacology. So we have both modern pharmacology and modern chemistry, which are direct results of misunderstandings of alchemy.
Well, that's actually an amazing thing, considering the origins of it. It's a good thing that I guess that people decided to interpret it literally. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the advancements in science that we have today.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this, to me, is a very amazing testimonial to the power of Hermetic alchemy, that misunderstanding it can produce such amazing things as chemistry and medicine. Or pharmacology in medicine.
Well, that's that could be called an alchemical process in itself.
If you want to use the word alchemy in that way.
Yes, if you want to use it in that way instead of the inner alchemical process. But
this is one of the biggest problems that I have trying to talk to people about alchemy, is that all of these other connotations and understandings of the word come in, and that's why I try and be very, very specific when I'm talking about alchemy. And I like to talk about hermetic alchemy, or even better, hermetic inner alchemy, hermetic internal alchemy.
Okay, before we go on, I need to do a quick commercial break so I don't forget this week, and that way I don't get sidetracked when I hear inside of my ear, 90 seconds remaining. For further information about Hermetics in the Golden Dawn and the HOGD Alpha at Omega, you can go to www.golden-dawn.com. You also can find them on YouTube. They have many, many fantastic educational videos. The username on YouTube is Hermetic Golden Dawn, all one word. You can find us on MySpace. To find us on MySpace, go to www.myspace.com/Hermetic Golden Dawn, again, all one word. We are on Facebook as well. The Facebook link is kind of convoluted, so if you would please go to www.blogtalkradio.com/hermetic-golden-dawn. You will see the link to our Facebook page. Please add us there if you have Facebook. And I just gave the Blog Talk Radio link. And as well, if you have any time, have any questions for the show, show ideas, things you would like to see covered, please, please, please send us an email. Send us an email. You'll see a little email link on or the front page of this blog podcast. Again, the address is www.blogtalkradio.com/hermetic-golden-dawn. And I think that is everything. Okay, and now back to our talk on alchemy. I have all these post-it notes all over my computer right now, making sure that I get everything in this week instead of freaking out at the 90 seconds remaining. So, okay. Now, if we can go on, unless you think this is skipping forward, how is alchemy truly integrated into the Golden Dawn as a Hermetic order? How does that integration really happen?
Well, again, there are actually three disciplines in the Hermetic tradition, three spiritual disciplines. There is magic or theurgy, there is astrology, and there is alchemy. And the three of these spiritual disciplines are very interrelated. Both alchemy and magic, the magic of the Golden Dawn, are both dependent on astrology.
Okay.
For example.
Yes.
And, you know, in our order, in the Golden Dawn, we teach magic first. Because this is a great way to develop your energetic nature in a very safe and gentle way. First, you're exposed to these notions in the initiatic process, and you develop these notions and these experiences, these energetic breakthroughs in the initiation rituals, and you develop it further with your magical practice.
Okay.
And then once you've developed yourself enough that you can withstand faster development and greater amperages or voltages of energy, then you're ready for the more advanced techniques of Hermetic alchemy, which work directly, very directly, on the physical body.
Okay, and that's in the third order. Now, am I correct in assuming that the third order is invitational, or can people actually seek to enter the third order, or do they have to wait to be invited?
It's definitely invitational.
Okay, and is that the same too for the second order?
Also, yes.
Okay.
It's always been that way in the Golden Dawn.
Okay. So to back up a bit, so am I also correct in assuming that the HOGD / AO, are you the only Hermetic Western school that offers these disciplines, like the third order alchemistry. I can't believe I said that. Alchemy teachings.
Well, we are, to my knowledge, the only visible Hermetic order that actually teaches these things and actually is, let's put it this way. To my knowledge, here's a very alchemical way of putting things. To my knowledge, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, as the outer order of S.L. McGregor Mathers, Rosicrucian Order of Alpha et Omega, is the only visible Hermetic order today that is in possession of the Philosopher's Stone, rather than looking for it.
Okay.
And not only in possession of it, but teaching the methodology surrounding it.
Okay. So I just want to make sure, because I want people to really, really understand what we've said here, so there's no No misunderstanding. So some of the notes that I've written down is alchemy as a metaphor for personal growth, that is a New Age community turn on the phrase, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And if anybody was to pick up some alchemical book and trying to figure out the symbols on their own, they probably, most likely 100% without somebody who is initiated in the process, will not be able to read it.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what those books were written for.
Okay.
Those books were written specifically so that you do not understand it unless you're an initiate.
Okay, so what exactly is a book on alchemy? Like?
I'm sorry? I'm having trouble with the connection.
Yeah, you're breaking up. What exactly, is there a book? Like, how is this book presented? How, is it sealed? Is it? How does one become? I know you can't.
For example, Carl Jung is the perfect example. Carl Jung spent a lot of time studying the images of alchemy and classical alchemical texts.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, what he came up with was his own intellectual theory.
Okay.
His theory of the collective unconscious and justifying that through the images of alchemy, and saying that these images prove that the archetypes of the collective unconscious exist. They're archetypal images.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one of the things that can result from an intellectual study of classical alchemical texts. But this is not at all the same thing as becoming an alchemical initiate.
Okay.
All through history, alchemy has been taught in the same way. And that is master to disciple.
Okay.
If you want to learn alchemy in the classical texts, you have to become the apprentice of a master alchemist, of course.
Okay, so the master alchemist too, since it's by invitation, they seek out their apprentices?
I'm sorry?
Because the third order is invitationary, and I would be assuming mm-hmm. that once you got that, there are master alchemists in the third order, obviously.
Of course there are.
So the master seeks out the apprentice then? Is that how that would work for the apprentice-master relationship to occur?
Well, let's put it this way. My teachers, my own alchemical teachers, are not people that you find.
Okay, they find you.
I was found because they wanted to find me.
Okay.
They contacted me, not the other way around.
Okay. Now, you briefly talked about something, and I want more clarification on it, because it's not quite clear in my brain, and so I'm assuming it's probably not clear in some other listener's brain. You briefly used the term alchemy of the grades.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you...
Yeah, a lot of that's become very popular in the Golden Dawn, people talking about the... spiritual development that they go through as they progress through the grades of the Golden Dawn as being alchemy. Well,
okay.
Certainly they are transformative, but
mm-hmm.
alchemy in the Hermetic tradition means something very different and much more than, much greater than just that.
Okay, so the true role of alchemy in the Golden Dawn is, finish that sentence for me, please.
The true role of alchemy in the Golden Dawn is as the summit of the motor of spiritual development in an energetic sense. And you encounter that in the outer order symbolically, and you encounter it in the second order analogically, and you encounter it directly in the practices of the third order.
Oh, we have a question from chat that's actually a very fantastic question. Is
mm-hmm.
can anyone become an initiate, or does the director accept or decline the candidate if he feels they are not ready for the teachings? Let me just quickly ask them, are you asking, well, maybe they can hear me, are you asking about acceptance into the Golden Dawn? We'll see, yeah. But that's a really good question. Can anyone become an initiate? Or I'm going to assume until I hear otherwise that they're asking about joining the Golden Dawn. Or
well,
is there
you know,
some?
We are a bit selective. We have to be because temple resources are limited, and
mm-hmm.
you know it's very important not to waste time with people that are merely idly curious. So
okay.
we are rather selective in our application process from the very beginning in the Golden Dawn, and in terms of alchemical practice, of course one is much more selective. But
mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that there is a sort of natural selection that happens.
Okay.
Alchemy has to be conquered.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things that my teachers say over and over again. Alchemy has to be conquered. It cannot be given. It has to be conquered. It has to be earned. It has to be... And that is done in a very specific way. Alchemy is conquered. Alchemy is earned by dedicating oneself to their energetic development and the development of one's own energetic nature and attaining a certain level of energetic evolution. Because, you know, as you begin to transform your own vibration from a very sort of gross material vibration that is very dense into matter,
mm-hmm.
and you begin to transmute the vibration of your physical body and your consciousness, both together,
mm-hmm.
into a more energetically vibrant being, then it is a natural result of that energetic development. You begin to attract to yourself this sort of help and technique and understanding that you need in order to develop more.
Yes.
So if you want to be accepted as a disciple of an alchemical master, the only way to do that is to work on your energetic nature.
Okay. Well, that makes
do the work.
Okay. So just to the person in the chat room, he's going by the name In the Flow, or she. I'm sorry, it's a very generic screen name. Their remark to that is fantastic. So if we want to quickly back up and kind of elaborate on their question, I'm going to be gender neutral here, is how would they go about applying to the Golden Dawn?
Well, the first thing you should do is take a look at our website at www.golden-dawn.com, and you can see if the Golden Dawn tradition looks like something for you, a bit more in depth. Take a look around, and then take a look at our membership program, and you can apply for initiation right there on the website.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, and it's a she. She just answered me. She. I don't like that sometimes. I try to stay gender neutral as much as possible. It's really disheartening when somebody assumes that you're one gender over the other. So, yeah, I hope that answers your question in the flow. If you have any other question, please let us know, and we will do our best to answer it. So, okay, so yeah, go to www to review quickly. Review on that, www.golden-dawn.com. Read about the order. And, again, is there a specific link that they would have to click on for application?
There's a link there for membership, membership application.
Okay.
You'll see it on the website.
Oh, cool. Okay, fantastic. I'm just trying to think here. There's a couple other notes, but I got really excited over the question. I like when people ask questions and I'm not the only one answering.
You know, there's one thing that I'd like to reiterate.
Okay.
And you know, I hear people talking about learning alchemy with a chemistry set, or I hear people talking about learning alchemy through the study of alchemical texts,
mm-hmm.
or I hear people talking about practicing alchemy by reading books about spagyry,
okay.
or even performing spagyrical operations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, you know, all of these things are very, very nice, very well and good, but, you know, when it comes to hermetic alchemy, this is not something you can learn on your own. There's no such thing as alchemical self-initiation.
Okay.
Just like the great spiritual lineages of the East,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are Dharma transmissions within Buddhism, for example.
Yeah.
You know, these great spiritual disciplines and high spiritual techniques are always transmitted within an initiatic context from master to disciple.
Yes.
It's like that in the West as in the East, everywhere.
Yes.
And without initiation, you know, you mentioned at the very beginning of this broadcast tonight that you were feeling a little confused. It looks like a bit of a labyrinth when you try to look at the texts that are out there and the books that are out there. Well, it is a labyrinth,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very deliberate labyrinth. And if you try on your own to learn alchemy on your own or self-initiate yourself into hermetic alchemy, the only thing that you're going to accomplish is to, in one way or another, get lost.
Yes.
And that is just the way things are. If you want to learn alchemy, then you have to become an apprentice of an alchemical master, like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way. You know, because and the key to the labyrinth, the way to deal with the labyrinth of alchemy, is just like in the myth of Ariadne in the labyrinth and the Minotaur.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ariadne's thread that allowed the hero to come back out of that labyrinth.
Okay.
Ariadne left a thread, which became mm-hmm. the key to the labyrinth. This thread, Ariadne's thread, in that sense, in that myth, is referring to alchemical initiation and hermetic initiation. Because it's by being initiated into hermetic alchemy that one can, with the help of this guidance, of this initiatic thread, unlock the keys to the labyrinth and understand what all those texts are actually talking about,
yes.
and understand the actual meanings of all of those cryptic alchemical imagery. It's
now,
a whole language one has to learn.
Yeah, it is. But to just back up a bit, because that kind of causes a bit disconnect from where we started off, still knowing those imageries and reading those alchemical texts, with them still locked, not decoded, unciphered, without the proper guide. That is still an important step, though, yeah, to be able to take the journey from the beginning to the end in the alchemical process?
What's your
question? To understand the symbolism, because at the very top, like we talked about, how the outer order is very symbolic, but it's all learning that symbolism and having the true nature of those symbols hidden until you're at the end of your growth. That whole mm-hmm. process, the veiledness to the unveiledness, is all very, very important, is it not?
Mm-hmm. If we're talking about the Golden Dawn, absolutely it is.
Yes.
But if we're talking about trying to study alchemy on your own and exposing yourself to those symbols, certainly it's a good idea. Go ahead. I mean, you know, but that again, that's another dead end. For example,
I'm talking about in the context of the Golden Dawn.
Let me talk about another problem. You know, there is, by the way, the Alchemy website out there. It is an absolutely marvelous website. It's a wonderful resource. It was put together by Adam McLean. And Adam McLean is, bar none, the greatest alchemical encyclopedist of our times.
Okay.
He has pulled together an amazing collection of alchemical texts and alchemical images.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he, not being an alchemical initiate, has, like Carl Jung, come up with a different approach to alchemy, which is another way of getting lost in the labyrinth. And that is having a mystical approach to these images. The notion of meditating on alchemical images
mm-hmm.
in order to penetrate their meaning. This is another dead end. Unless you have the Ariadne's thread, the keys to the labyrinth, you will for sure become lost in that labyrinth. That's why the alchemists say that without the help of a master alchemist, the secrets of alchemy will always remain a book sealed with seven seals.
Now that kind of sounds to me, the person who wrote the encyclopedia, that kind of sounds to me that he's mixing some of the Tarot meditations in with alchemy.
It's a mystical approach, you know. With all due respect to Adam, he's got a bit of a mystical approach to alchemy, which is very interesting in itself as a school of mysticism, but it's not Hermetic alchemy. It's not the practice of Hermetic inner alchemy anyway. Hermetic inner alchemy is not about meditating on alchemical images.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what it is. Alchemy is not a school of mysticism. Alchemy is a school of energetic development by the transmutation of the physical body into ever higher vibrations and purified forms of energy, transmuting one's own consciousness at the same time into ever higher states of consciousness by transmuting one's physical energy of one's physical body.
Okay, so it's
quite specifically.
It's a complete transformation from one type of energy to another. Oh, we have another person that just quickly jumped into chat, and I don't know if he has another question, or we have like 4 minutes remaining. So if anybody who's in chat right now has any questions, we have 4 minutes remaining to answer any of your questions. So please get them in. If by any chance you do have a question and we are unable to answer it on this show, we will be doing, this is the first in a long, thank you very much. We just got a comment that it's very interesting to see a Hermetic show on here. This is the first, as I was just saying, the first in probably, I don't want to say numbers for sure, but I'm guessing a three-part series in alchemy. It might turn in longer, because it is a huge, huge, there's just so much to understand here. So, to go back to your point, what was I just going to say? Okay, so it's an issue, it's a whole, it's not just transformation on a higher consciousness, a higher self, spiritual.
We're not talking about some mystical inner process. We're talking about a physical transmutation.
Okay, just to make that clear. Other points before we end up here, before we run out of time, if you just wanted to re-stress the main points of today's, just some of the main points between compare and contrast between some of the common misconceptions between alchemy and what Hermetic alchemy is, especially in relation to the Golden Dawn.
Okay, once again, let me just wrap it up with one thing. There are two perspectives on Hermetic alchemy. Basically only two. There is an initiated perspective of one who is an initiate of this tradition, who sees the symbols of alchemy with those keys. And there is the perspective of one who is not who does not have the benefit of those keys and therefore cannot penetrate the mysteries. Those are the two basic perspectives, and there are many elaborations on that. And if you want to become an initiate of Hermetic alchemy and find the keys to the labyrinth and be given the keys to the labyrinth, then what you need to do is to dedicate yourself to your energetic development. And the development of your own consciousness through the development of your energetic nature. It's the most important choice you can ever make, not to just feed your body. Don't just feed your material nature. Feed your spiritual nature in an energetic sense. You need to learn to give more energy, to shine more energy. It's becoming a fountain of bottomless energy.
Okay. We have one quick question. I have the 90 seconds in my ear. I think I answered it correctly, but I want to just double check here. You have been practicing Golden Dawn for like 20 years now, maybe longer?
I've been practicing Western spirituality all my life.
All your life. And specifically the Golden Dawn for a couple decades now at least.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. Okay, oh, I got 60 seconds remaining.
Well, anyway, it's been a pleasure being here with you tonight.
Thank you very much for being on the show once again, David. For some the people that are just tuning into chat, I will be in chat for a few more minutes to answer any last-minute questions. I highly recommend, because a lot of what today we discussed was introduced in our podcast from last week. So if you have not listened to it yet, please do so. And we will be back next week. So continue to check the main page for important updates. Become a friend of the show and sign up for important updates. That way you don't have to keep checking back for the next time our show is on air. And once again, thank you very much, David. As always, it was a pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to you being on the show again next week as we continue our discussion on alchemy.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.